eternal life and the inheritance that's just beyond our wording, and look forward to it and that day when we'll all be together rejoicing in it, and in so doing, just the great thanks and the appreciation for what Christ did for us so that we could have this inheritance and be a part of your family. Until that time, we go through this present evil world, and Lord, there are many things that beset us day by day, and we want to take this time and lift up anything that's heavy upon our hearts in prayer to you, and pray that you'd search those things that we lift up to you, and that you'd work in each given request and be done to your honor and to your glory. And we'll give you thanks and praise for it, because we know that you make all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We thank you for these things, and I pray that you grant me the ability to preach and convey your word to those here so that you they all can see the truth therein and be edified and built up by it, so we can go in the strength of the truth of the word and not our own wisdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, turn this on. You got me back there? Yeah. Okay, good. Anyhow, all right. Well, I thought I'd preach on something that really, when it comes down to the end of the message, hopefully you're going to have a great appreciation for it. And that is a topic of being friends. Now, I want you to understand that when I talk about friends, it goes far beyond the fact that of what most of us understand to be a friend. It really does. So that's why I chose that topic and show you the depth that's involved there in friend or friendship. Matter of fact, I don't know how this will help you. The word friend occurs 53 times in 49 verses. Like I said, I don't know how that helps you, but it appears quite a bit in your Bible. There's also derivatives of that, like friends or friendly or friendship, that appear in your Bible. But I want to talk to you about being a friend. The first time it appears in your Bible, the word friend, and we'll not turn there, we'll kind of touch on it a little later, but it first appears as a word friend in your Bible in Genesis chapter 38 verse 12. So, with that said, turn to Acts 27. And look in Acts chapter 27. This will be about the Apostle Paul. He's been arrested. He's being taken to Rome. He's on a, lack of a better word, a cruise ship. It's not quite the cruise ship you're thinking about, though. In Acts 27, verse 1, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So Julius was a man of authority. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius, that's the centurion, courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. So Julius, who had great authority there, when they arrived at the port, he gave Paul this liberty. Kind of unheard of. I mean, you know, to turn a guy that was technically a prisoner of the Roman Empire free to go unto his friends. And so consequently, Paul there goes off and goes to his friends. Well, I'm talking about friends, friendship, and those type things. So Paul goes to his friends. Now, when it says it goes to his friends, it talked about to refresh him. Having a friend is refreshing. In this particular case, I went back and I pulled up some of the troubles that Paul went through in his ministry. I pulled up some of the things that he suffered. The Apostle Paul suffered 5 times. He was beaten. 5 times he was whipped with the cat of nine tails. And when they did it by Roman law, you got 40 stripes, 40 times, save one, in case there's a miscount. So they could only whip you 40 times, so they would beat you 39 times. He received that 5 times. If math holds, that's 195 lashes. So you can kind of understand the shape of the body after it's been beaten that way. Not only that, he mentions that 3 times he was beaten with rods. They would use a rod that would beat an individual for punishment's sake. 3 times. Once, in Acts, I think it's 14, he was stoned to death. So he was a sorely disfigured human being with a lot of body ailments associated with it. Not considering the fact that he was on this ship, which I jokingly said was a cruise ship. Technically, they're cruising. But it's not the ship that we think about. It's one of those dinghies that have no real creature comforts. And so he's on this ship. They've been on sea all day one day. They get to the port the next day. And at this port, Paul has friends. And so the centurion of great authority releases this prisoner so he could go and get refreshed. Well, imagine he got there and the friends received him, because they're friends, and took care of the stripes that were on him, and bandaged him, and put ointment on him, and bathed him, and he could shave if it was a shaving thing. But he could get cleaned up. He could rest. He could have his clothes washed, mended, get new clothes. He was refreshed. And that's what friendship is about. Refreshing one another. Now, as I talk about this, this is what I do not want anybody in here to do. I don't want you to hear this message and think it's about somebody else. Don't do that. This is about you. This is about me. It's a self-exam. So don't think when I'm preaching and I cover something about friends that, oh, well, he's talking about so-and-so. No, bring it all to yourself. Measure yourself up to it, not somebody else, because that's part of the problem we have today in our society. It's all about you and not about me. So friends, now with that said, turn to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to cover this in two ways. We're going to cover it in a friendship of 101, man and man. In other words, mankind, whether it's a male or female or whatever, just friendship in general. Proverbs, 27, verse 5. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. How applicable is something like that? How applicable is this? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You say, if you're my friend, you're not going to hurt me. Folks, understand, friendship involves some tough love. True friendship involves tough love. You see, we don't understand what friendship is today. The world today describes friends in a different category than what the Bible addresses friendship. So consequently, we don't fully understand what it is to be a friend. Solomon writes in Proverbs here, open rebuke is better than secret love. The wounds of a friend. Open rebuke. If you have a true friend, a true friend is not going to allow you to get in a tough situation. A true friend will watch out for your well-being. A true friend is going to help encourage and inspire you to do that which is right. And a true friend is going to say, no, what you did is incorrect. Well, if you love me, you wouldn't say that. If you love me, you wouldn't tell me I was wrong. Well, open rebuke is better than secret love. The last thing you want is somebody to come up to you in a friendship manner and give you a hug and tell you how much they love you, but they won't tell you, hey, that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And you see, many people, the problem is they don't want a friend that will do that. They want a friend that will comply to them. They want a friend that's going to always be there and never challenge them on the decisions that they make. Well, that's not a friend. That's not a friend. True measurement of a friend is there through thick and thin. True measure of a friend is one who really cares. And we're going to see more verses in just a minute to fully understand the measure of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Did you know an enemy will kiss you? You better be careful. Watch those lips. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, if a friend inflicts something to you, but it's done in a judgmental to help you manner, you might want to embrace that rather than the deceitful who's going to give you a little smack on the cheek. See, I can love too. Probably the hardest thing for any preacher, and I'm not, let me modify that, any preacher of the truth, is to maintain and have friends. It is. Because you're under the command of the Word of God to preach it in truth. And many times you have to address issues where people are at fault, and you have to, if you're their friend in the true sense, you have to tell them. And most people don't like that. They don't like being told that they were wrong. They don't like being told, this is the way you should have said this. This is the way you should have handled this. They don't like it. Because most people are not raised to understand friendship that way. What is friendship today? It's if I can hang out with you and we laugh, we have fun, we just generally get along. Well, yeah, that's part of the makeup of a friendship. But it goes much deeper and further than that. Much deeper and further than that. It goes into going through life's challenges. And none of us are perfect. So every one of us are going to make mistakes. Well, if you have a true friend, they'll point that out to you. And if you're a true friend to them, you'll embrace it. You don't embrace a person that just gives you the secret love. I've encountered a lot of people in my life that won't talk to me about an issue because they know that I'm going to be straightforward with them. So what they do is they hunt out somebody else that's just going to agree with what they did. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about what he thinks or says. Well, what are you doing for that individual? You're keeping them on a path where they're incorrect in the steps of their lives. You can't do that. As a minister, you've got to tell them the truth from the Word of God. So consequently, you're not exactly the magnet on the refrigerator, if you know what I mean. So anyhow, Proverbs 27. Let's go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Verse 17, you know, the Bible says a lot about friends. When I started this, I was like, whoa, I wasn't prepared for all this. But it just keeps coming and coming. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, it's two contrasts there. It's a friend and a brother in the verse, a friend and a brother. When I was in high school, I had a personal friend. However, this guy had two brothers, so it was three brothers in high school that ranged from senior to freshman. And these were pretty stout old boys. I mean, they were good country boys. And the saying was this, if you're going to fight one of the guys, you're going to wind up having to fight all the brothers. Because you will not. And I'm telling you this as a witness to it, not personally involved, because they were really my friends, but if you go and pick a fight with one, you better be good, because later you're going to be fighting three. That's just how it was. A brother is for adversity. He's there for that strength and that support. That's one half of the picture. However, on the other half, a friend loveth at all times. Measure yourself up now to your friend status. Go ahead, put the scale there, 0 to 10, 10 being top friend on the dog pole here. Where you at on the number scale? A friend loveth at all times. Folks, it's easy to love people when they come up to you and they're all friendly and you've got things in common and you can talk about those things. But let the woes of this world enter into that friendship. Let the challenges of this world enter into that friendship. Then see where you're at. Does the love of the friendship exceed and go beyond the troubles? Because they're there and they're going to come. So where are you on the friendship scale? Like I said, don't think of the other person. Well, I would be friends with him or her, but they're just not. No. Think about yourself. Somebody else needs you to be the true friend that you're supposed to be. When I talk about judgment and things that, you know, people say, well, you're not supposed to judge. Well, you know what judgment is? It's seeing something, it's evaluating it, and without bias, it's coming to a conclusion. You've judged it. Period. Now, there are different forms of judgment that you shouldn't do, like condemnation. You shouldn't condemn anybody. Why? Because the Lord died for everybody. God can justify anybody. So consequently, friends love at all times. I used to be of the influence, and you know, it's amazing as you're in this thing how your views changed. I talked to Brother Moore, but those of you that don't know him, he's kind of the elder of all the Grace churches. He's passed away. He's gone to be with the Lord. But I've known him for 30 years. And I remember on the front end, he was firm on some things. Then I knew him before he died. And he changed on a lot of things. Not doctrinally, just his position on certain things in our society. And I have too. I see that happening. It's not doctrinal. I'm never going to change from the gospel. Or the fundamental doctrine associated with the gospel. There are other things like telling your kids that I'm not to be your friend. I'm to be your parent. Well, that may sound good. But in reality, the best thing a parent could be to their children is a friend. But a true friend. You know, not a fake friend as we know it today. Oh, I want to have fun with my kids. Well, friendship is not always fun. There's a lot of tears involved in friendship. There's a lot of hurt. There's challenges in friendship. What am I saying that isn't involved with parents and kids? It all involves parents and kids. You want to be a parent? Then lay out some rules. That's being a friend. So when they're older, you don't have what's called state police, city police, a sheriff after them. And for crying out loud, please, please stop. If you don't do what I said, I'm going to count to three and you're going to be punished. Your kids know how to count to three. Stop it. You want to teach them how to count? Go, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to count to 1,500,268. Then you're teaching them how to count. Stop the threes! Oh, God, just take them and go. I told you to do this. You're not going to do it. You're going to be punished. Boom, done. Oh, this point where I take my coat off and cool. Hey, folks, in all seriousness, part of our problem today in this country is the lack of leadership by parents. It's the lack of leadership by parents. You look at the disorder, you look at the violence, you look at the chaos, you look at the state of this country. Not talking about the world, I don't care about the world. This country, it stems from 40 or so years ago, a man who started it, Dr. Spock, not the one on Star Trek, Benjamin Spock, started, you're not to whip your kids or discipline them. And he started it, and it took off, and it's worked its mindset through our society for 40 years, and look what we got now. I tell you what, when I was a kid and our family went out to eat, you better keep your mouth shut. That's cruel. No, it's orderly. And you talk to an adult, they address you, it's yes sir, yes ma'am, no sir, no ma'am. Not, hey Mark! Not, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I don't want that. Look at it! Look at it! It's gotten terrible. A friend loveth at all times. Not just when the times are good. Not when everything's convenient. And you don't tell them what they want to hear. But you don't have to be so brutally honest. You discourage a friendship. There's a measure there. Proverbs 18. Which won't, in Proverbs 18 verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A brother's for adversity, but don't necessarily be friends. Sibling rivalries, fighting, but they're together because they're brothers. A friend goes beyond that. But to do that and be a friend, you've got to show yourself to be what? Friendly. Things have got to be measured out in friendship. They've got to be measured out. You're not the sheriff of the friendship. In other words, it's not all up to you to make all the calls and judgments in a friendship. It's not up to you to carry the big stick. It's got to be balanced out. You've got to know how to handle situations. If you're a friend of someone, you've got to know the mindset, the attitude, the temperament of that individual. Not everybody is born to wear the rod on the back. And even though there's harsh rebuke and there are wounds involved, you've got to know the manner in which you correct or instruct somebody in a particular situation. But you yourself have got to start off by being a friendly individual. If you don't have that, you'll never have friends. And trust me, guys, in the years I've done this, I've had people come up to me in private and they're sad, they're down, depressed, and they say, I just don't have any friends. Well, the first thought in my mind is not all the people out there, like it's their problem. I look at them. Well, why wouldn't you have any friends? You know a lot of people. You should have friends. Well, I know where the weak link is at that point, right? It's that individual. There's something about that individual that is not conducive to friendship, and I can tell you what it is. They're not friendly. They're not friendly. So, friends are not exactly what our society teaches us as friends. And oh, by the way, morning news. Your friends on Facebook are not your friends. I know it's shocking. I know I just ruined most of the people's day by telling you that. They are not your friends. No more than the comic books I read as a kid, like Spider-Man, makes me Spider-Man. It's a fantasy. Facebook is a fantasy. I blew out a mic on that one. It's a fantasy. It's not real. You say, well, I have friends on it. No, you don't. Friends are interactive. They're dealing with people. It's getting dirt under your fingernail with people. It's getting blisters and lower back pain. Dealing with people. That's what friends, it's not, LOL. That's not a friendship. Friends. It's interesting. Now we're going to get into Bible teaching. Instead of like one-on-one with fellow man, I'm going to show you the friend mindset of God and man. It's We're making a turn here. I mentioned at the start that the word friend appears in your Bible. The first time that word appears is in Genesis 38 verse 12. We don't need to turn there. You can look it up and verify it, but we're not going to go there. But I want to show you that a friend showed up before Genesis 38, 12. Turn in your Bible to passages of Scripture. I want you to get James chapter 2. And hold James chapter 2 when you get it. Hold that and turn back to Genesis 15. We're going to read Genesis 15 first. We're going to go to James chapter 2 second. First, Genesis 15. Now, these are going to all be long version of my messages because in about, say, 2 weeks or so, I begin my NFL messages, my not-for-long messages, because the Saints are kicking off at 12. No, I'm just kidding. It's an inspired decision. God instructs me to be finished at 12. I don't know why. It just falls in the fall. It just happens that way. It's my fall inspiration. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, brought Abram forth abroad, God did, and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So God tells him, Look at the stars up there. Can you number them? Quick answer is no. That's how your seed is going to be. Verse 6. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted to him for righteousness. So basically, it's an old man who's past age, along with his wife Sarah, who's past age to conceive. He's like, I have no children directly through Sarah. And so God says, You see those stars up there? Well, yeah, God, I sure do. Can you number them? No, I can't number them. That's how your seed is going to be. And he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Now in James. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. Why? Because God told him something that was a sheer impossibility, and consequently, because of that, Abraham believed, and he was classified as a friend of God. So, Genesis 38 is where the word friend first appears in your Bible. But a friend shows up in Genesis chapter 15 in the form of Abram. He was a friend of God. Why? He believed God. He trusted in the Lord. Now, you'd think that thought process would carry on down through Scripture. I'm going to show you it didn't. For instance, let's do the cross here, the ministry of Christ. Well, in this time is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I hear the thunder. Don't worry about it. We're safe. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You want to know the ministry of Jesus Christ? What it was all about? Who he went to? What he had to teach? What he had to say? Right there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is where you read those things. So, with that said, let's give it a shout and a try. Turn to John chapter 15. See, the problem today is preachers that are out there are not your friends. The preachers out there are not your friends. Why? They're hiding the truth of the Word of God from you. They don't want you to see the truth of this book. So in John 15, look in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, and that just makes me want to break out in a little tear. Oh, that's so loving. I mean, there's the gospel. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15. Jesus Christ ultimately goes to the cross, dies on the cross, crucified, buried, and raised. Well, there's no doubt that he laid his life down. He said, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down of myself. So he laid his life down for who? His friends. Well, there's the gospel, Mark. There it is. Well, is it? Let's check it out. Verse 13. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I skip verse 14 to go to it now. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So, who in the ministry of Jesus Christ was his friends? Those that did what he commanded them to do. And I can tell you now, there are people that are instructed out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every Sunday and still don't know what the Lord commanded them to do. So by that measure alone, you would not fall into the category of being a friend. Why? Because you're not doing what he commanded you to do. Not only that, you can't do it. Jesus Christ said that those that want an inheritance or to sell all that they have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. How many of you have done that? If you haven't done it, you're not his friend. That's his command. Who'd he lay his life down for? His friends. Well, then he didn't lay his life down for you. Because you're not doing what he commanded. You say, yeah, but this is Christian country. How can it apply? I'm going to show you how it applies. Turn with me somewhere. Oh, by the way, I'd like to state this. In Paul's writings, our beloved apostle, which is news to most people, the apostle Paul, who was the apostle of the Gentiles, us, wrote 13 letters, Romans through Philemon. Say, Mark, that's boring stuff. Well, let me give you some exciting stuff. Do you realize in Romans through Philemon, not one time in 13 epistles does he say the word friend? He doesn't say friend. He doesn't say friends. He don't say friendly. He doesn't say friendship. You just read it in John chapter 15, but yet our apostle doesn't address it. You know why he doesn't address it? I'm going to show you. You don't even have to ask. I ask for you. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 first. In Ephesians 5. In this section of Ephesians 5 is what I always do when I perform a wedding. I always go through this. And he's given an illustration of a husband and wife, but yet the church and the body of Christ. And with that said, we're going to cut right into it. And in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then did Jesus Christ love the church and give himself for it? Absolutely he did. But according to John, those that he laid his life down for were his friends, right? That's what the scripture says in John. This is why you got to rightly divide the word of truth to get the ministry that's for you today. With that said, turn to Romans chapter 5. Look in Romans chapter 5. Now stay with me. The exciting conclusion of this message is coming up. And you will stay with me if you're my friend. No, don't leave. Romans chapter 5. All right, we're going to jump right into the chapter here, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were his friends, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Huh? How many of you saw that I misread a verse? How many of you didn't see that I misread a verse? How many of you embarrassed that you didn't even follow it? Told you I didn't have any friends. Else you would have followed. All right. Let's do this again. We won't read them all for time's sake. This is what I misread. Verse 10. For if, when we were friends, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. It's enemies. Then in this dispensation we're living in, did God have any friends? No, he didn't. They were just enemies. So you know what he did? He delivered Christ up. Christ willingly went to the cross, died for our sins. Why? He loved the church and gave himself for it. And there wasn't one person that would live, future tense, from the cross, future, that would live, that would ever be classified as his friend. Not one. Nobody today, nobody is keeping the commands out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, I try. Well, big whoop. You're trying, that's like getting a zero on a test and you tell the teacher, well, I tried. Oh, that's impressive. Yeah, she's going to mark you up to an A. I tried. Well, what'd you do? You sat it on your desk and stared at it? It doesn't matter if you claim you tried. James said that if a man keep the whole law, yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Well, how many points do you have to fail in the law to be guilty of it? Not 50%. Not 68% to at least get your D. You would have to keep them all. Well, it's the same way with the commands of the Lord that most of us don't even know. You'd have to keep them all. Then you'd be his friends. Then he'd lay his life down for his friends. But out here in this dispensation we're living in, started with Paul, who was a blasphemer. You don't get a friend of God that's a blasphemer of God. Who was a blasphemer, he got saved by the unique gospel that was given to him that Peter, James, and John had no clue of because they never saw that Jesus Christ was dying for his enemies. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God came through Christ to save a bunch of enemies that were going down into God's wrath. And so consequently, that's an H, consequently, you've been saved from the wrath of God by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't get any better than that. So that's it, folks. I got nothing better for you. Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day for your justification as you sit there as an enemy of God. God is not looking for you to put a "What Would Jesus Do" bumper sticker on your car so you can fall in favor with him. God is not looking for you to put a little
statue of St. Christopher on your dashboard so he can have favor for you. God's not looking for you to wear a cross around your neck so you can look Christian-y so he can have favor on you. God's looking at enemies, and all he wants you to do is believe and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, so he can save you from his wrath. That's it. That's the bottom line. Now, the cherry. Colossians. Oxygen. Colossians chapter 1. And to think some of you thought, I don't want to go to church this morning. Shame on you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. So if it's not enough that we exteriorly show ourselves to be the enemy of God through the works of this flesh, verse 20, and having made peace, thank God for the peace, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether the things in earth, things in heaven. Watch this. And you, Colossians, us Americans, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words. You think the Lord doesn't know the mind of man today? Huh. So you may not be doing things exteriorly. You may be a really good individual that the neighbors like and see and go, they're outstanding citizens. But God sees the mind. God knows what's in that little cranium of yours up there. And it produces wicked imaginations and thoughts. And ultimately, they get worked out of this flesh some kind of way. They do. God knew it. God saw it. And he has the perfect plan for the entirety of the world today. And that is, Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he was raised again for your justification. So he took enemies that were guilty, that were appointed to wrath, and he took them, justified them, cleaned them all up, straightened them up. And folks, guess what? When you trust in Christ, you're not a friend of his. You are him. You are his body. You are part of Jesus Christ. You are part of the Savior, the Lord God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You're part of his body. You're not an exterior part trying to maintain a friendship. You've been baptized into the body of Christ, and you've been seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there's no friendship to avail and attain to. You're part of him by faith in Christ. You say, well, Mark, aren't you teaching now that it's not a matter of how I should live? I never said that. And it's a shame that your carnal mind went in that direction because you're not listening to the words of God. You are part of the body of Christ by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not a friend of his. You're part of him. You're part of the Godhead. Hence, you're complete in him. Trust in the Lord. That's all that's left up. I can't do it for you. It's up to you to do it right here, right now. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to hear the blessed gospel of the glorious God preached unto us, how that Christ loved us and gave himself for us so that we could be saved and delivered from the wrath to come. For those of us that have believed, we give you thanks and praise, which are deserving of, for the salvation you provided us. But if there's any here that has never put their trust in the finished work of Christ, I pray that right now they do so. Put their pride aside, humble themselves, and realize that if they don't come through you, there's no way they can get to God. So just trust in the Lord and what he did in your behalf, and thou shalt be saved. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.